from Jakarta, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed distribution of placement of for IVDN graduate to strengthen the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. The United Kingdom considers Indonesia as an attractive place for investment. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kala said the distribution of placement for the Institute of Domestic Administration, IDPDN graduates in all regions of Indonesia aims to strengthen the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia, NKRI. This was stated by Vice President Yusuf Kala while presiding over the inauguration ceremony of prospective graduates of IPDN 29th in Jatinangor, West Java on Friday. With the decentralized government system, he hopes IPDN students can learn how regional autonomy can encourage development in the region without causing sectoral egos in each region. He inaugurated 1,994 best young students consisting of 1,319 men and 675 women from 34 provinces on Friday. Thousands of these students will undergo official education for 4 years before being placed in government offices through Indonesia as state civil apparatus. Indonesia has become an attractive place for investment and has many opportunities to be widely open, so that United Kingdom UK is committed to partnering in various fields, especially infrastructure, digital business, and renewable energy. This was stated by Special Envoy of the British Prime Minister in the field of trade over ASEAN and Indonesia, Richard Graham, in the Indonesian briefing event, which was attended by more than 100 invitees from Peru Cycle held at the Indonesian Embassy in London on Tuesday local time. Indonesian Ambassador to the United Kingdom and Ireland, Rizal Sukma, at the opening of the event welcomed the second Indonesian briefing event, which discuss various fields such as politics, economy, trade, investment, and tourism. Previously, Richard Graham also expressed concern over the disaster that hit Indonesia with the recent earthquake and the fall of Lion Air's plane last Monday. Indonesia's sustainable palm oil ISPO certificate began to gain recognition among palm oil users in Europe, as Kuwaiti Bantara News Agency head of the ISPO Secretariat, Aziz Hidayat, said at the 40th Indonesian Palm Oil Conference, IPOT, and 2019 outlook on Friday that the Europe Sustainable Palm Oil Expo begins to recognize ISPO as a valid certificate for sustainable palm oil business. He also said that in the progress report of the ISPO, ISPO certificate already cover around 2.1 million hectares of oil palm plantation in Indonesia in 2017. Meanwhile, Roundtable Sustainable Palm Oil RSEOP cover 2.51 million hectares and Malaysia Sustainable Palm Oil MSPO 518,793 hectares. The figures show that oil palm plantation with certificate of sustainable palm oil are quite large. However, it is relatively small in comparison to the 14 million hectares of oil palm plantation in Indonesia. Geothermal Director of Energy and Mineral Resource Ministry, Ida Nuryatin, said on Friday that total non-tax revenue from the geothermal energy sector in West Java has reached $72.86 million, or around 1.1 trillion rupiah this year. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, Ida said that of the total revenue, 80% is for the West Java administration and 20% for the central government. West Java produces 61% or 1,194 megawatts of the 1,948 megawatt national geothermal energy production. She also said that Indonesia has abundant potential geothermal energy in West Java compared to other regions. She also added that the power plants in West Java are located in Kamojan, Salat, Derajat, Wayan Windu, Patuha, Karaha, and Cipuni. Ida Nuryatin also remarked that the one in Cipuni, which is in a pre-production phase, would have an installed capacity of 30 MW once it came on stream. The Salak power plant, which has an installed capacity of 377 MW, has contributed 237.8 billion rupiah in non-tax revenue as of September. 114% of the full-year target, around 208.8 billion rupiah. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia (BI) since Thursday has implemented domestic non-deliverable forward transaction (DNDF) in a bid to stabilize rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar. The Jakarta Interbank Spot Dollar Rate quoted on Friday the rupiah at 15,089 rupiah per US dollar was stronger than its Thursday position at 15,195 rupiah per US dollar. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, Institute Project Consultant of Asian Development Bank, Eric Sugandi, said in Jakarta on Friday that the central bank's move would help deepen the country's foreign exchange market. He also explained that the new policy would ease rupiah volatility because of the use of Indonesian currency. Eric also said the introduction of the DNDFs is expected to reduce offshore non-deliverable forwards and the apps that could potentially be used for speculative activities. The government of Indonesia, through Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, has made a pause to enhance transparency of public services by launching the application of the Mineral Online Monitoring System, MOMS, and EPNPB Minerals and Coal Minerba. Deputy Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, R. Chandratar, said in Jakarta on Friday that his side welcomed this step forward to make it easier for stakeholders to develop national policies. He also pointed out that with the launch of these two web-based applications, stakeholders are easy to get accurate data related to the mining and mineral balance. And as a consideration for the preparation of national mineral mining policy, especially with single sign-on using one account for two applications, the Minerba Online Monitoring System, MOMS, is a real-time and accurate data management application for the production and sale of the coal mineral sector. MOMS also facilitates the control and supervision of production and sale of the national mineral and coal sector based on agreed plans. The last item, that Indonesians are friendly and helpful, might be true after all. The 2018 World Giving Index by British organization Charities Aid Foundation, CAF, has placed Indonesia on top of the list. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, CAF stated that three behaviors are used to measure a country's generosity: donating money, helping a stranger, and volunteering in the past month when the survey was conducted. Indonesians' participation in volunteering stands as the highest in the world at 53%, while its people participation in donating money and helping a stranger are at 78% and 46% respectively. The country's overall score is 59%. The index, which was released this week, was based on survey in 2017 by management consultancy Gallup, involving more than 150,000 people worldwide before devastating earthquake in Lombok and Central Sulawesi that prompted the people to donate and volunteer. Indonesia made it to the top from its second position last year after Myanmar dropped to 9th place after 4 years of enjoying the status of the world's most generous country. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is Edit World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. The first information is about the issuance of Declaration of November the 3rd, 1945. Declaration of November the 3rd, 1945 aimed to support the establishment of political parties to take part in Indonesian democracy. Through the declaration, the Indonesian government hoped that political parties could be established before the implementation of the People's Representative Council's elections in January 1946. The Declaration of November the 3rd was also issued in a bid to legitimate political parties which had existed since the Dutch and Japanese occupations, as well as encourage the establishment of more political parties in Indonesia. The support of the Indonesian government to form more political parties marked 3rd of November as the new democratic era in Indonesia. However, the effort of fostering better democracy in Indonesia through the implementation of the 1946 elections was in vain, as most Indonesian people still focused on defending their country against the Allied troops. The next event is about the struggle of getting Fort Victoria. The presence of the Fort New Victoria in Ambon dated back from the establishment of a Portuguese fort on the Honeypopo beach in the 16th century. The official name of the Portuguese fort was Nossa Senhora da Anuncia. However, according to some people, the fort was better known as Kota Laha in the 6th and 18th centuries. Kota Laha means the fort in Laha City. Kota Laha was seized by the Dutch people from the Portuguese invaders. Later, the fort's name changed into Victoria as the Dutch people won against the Portuguese invaders in a 1614 battle. The fort underwent many repairs so that its name changed again into New Victoria. On 17 February 1795, the Dutch people handed over the fort without giving resistance to the British invaders. In 1802, the Dutch people obtained back their territories from the British people. But on 19 February 1810, Ambon and its surrounding areas were given to the British invaders by the Dutch commander without resistance after the areas were besieged by the British troops one day before. On the March the 25th, 1817, the British people gave the Fort New Victoria to the Dutch people. On November the 3rd, 1950, the troops led by Lieutenant Colonel Slamet Riyadi were defeated in a close combat to fight for the Fort New Victoria. Despite of the failure to get the fort back, the United States of Indonesian Armed Force succeeded in capturing Ambon back. Since then, the Fort New Victoria has been managed by the Indonesian government and it has been preserved by the Indonesian Army, which is currently being the military base of Cavalry Detachment 5 BLC Kodam 16 Patimura. The last information is about the Salang Tunnel Fire in Afghanistan, which killed more than 2,000 people. The Salang Tunnel Fire happened on November the 3rd, 1982, during the Soviet occupation in Afghanistan. The accident was probably the deadliest traffic accident in the world and one of the most severe fire in the modern era. The Salang Tunnel, which spans across the Salang Pass, was established by a Soviet engineer, and it was the main road in the Khush Hindu mountain range, separating northern and southern Afghanistan. The fire, which killed more than 2,000 people, happened when a military convoy of Soviet army from Unisoviet to Afghanistan took place. According to a source from Unisoviet, collision of two convoys triggered the fire and it caused congestion inside the tunnel. No explosion was reported, but 65 Soviet armies and 112 Afghanistani people were killed by the carbon monoxide substance. Well, listener, that was Today in History. I'm Putri Safira. Thank you for listening.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia program, which today is on Indonesia's economy is solid amid the global economic turmoil. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Rosmaya Hadi said Indonesia's economic growth remains solid amid global economic turmoil. Bank Indonesia, in its response, also strengthened the monetary, macroprudential, and payment system mix. This was conveyed by Rosmaya Hadi in the Indonesia Briefing 2018, which was attended by around 100 invitees from various business circles at the Indonesian Embassy in London, England, on Thursday. The event was held in collaboration with the Bank Indonesia Office and Investment Coordinating Board. Bank Indonesia Deputy Rosmaya Hadi, who was the keynote speaker, said Bank Indonesia was committed to strengthening collaboration with relevant institutions and ministries to increase investment and trade, as well as the flow of tourists to Indonesia. In addition, Bank Indonesia is committed to contribute more to the linkage to the Investor Relation Unit and the Global Relation Unit and the Regional Investor Relation Unit in increasing positive perception and capital inflows. Another speaker in the Indonesia briefing was the Special Envoy of the British Prime Minister in the field of trade for ASEAN and Indonesia, Richard Graham, who said the seriousness of the United Kingdom to improve bilateral relations, especially in the economic field, with Indonesia was by the appointment of the British ambassador to ASEAN based in Jakarta. The Indonesian briefing event was opened by Indonesian ambassador to London, Rizal Sukma. In his remarks, the ambassador said Indonesia is now the new Indonesia. He said Indonesia was a complex and plural country, but this should be seen not as an obstacle, but as an opportunity for businesses in the UK. For this reason, Ambassador Rizal Sukma hoped that the Indonesia briefing could answer any concerns or questions arising from British businessmen related to doing business in Indonesia, especially entering the 2019 political year. Meanwhile, the head of Bank Indonesia's London representative, Doni Hutabara, told Antara News Agency that the second Indonesia briefing was an annual event which was a continuation of a similar event in the previous year. This will continue to be held regularly to be able to present Indonesia's current economic and political conditions to investors, business people, and other stakeholders in the United Kingdom. Well, that was My Indonesia Today, featuring Indonesia's economy is solid amid global economic turmoil. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the distribution of placement for the Institute of Domestic Administration graduates in all regions of Indonesia aims to strengthen the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Indonesia has become an attractive place for investment and has many opportunities to be widely open, so that the United Kingdom UK is committed to partnering in various fields, especially in infrastructure, digital business, and renewable energy. Indonesia Sustainable Palm Oil ISPO certificate began to gain recognition among palm oil users in Europe. As Kueti Bantai News Agency Head of ISPO Secretariat Aziz Hidayat said at the 14th Indonesian Palm Oil Conference, IPO 2019 outlook on Friday, that the Europe Sustainable Palm Oil ISPO begins to recognize ISPO as a valid certificate for sustainable palm oil business. Geothermal Director of Energy and Mineral Resource Ministry Ida Nuryatin said on Friday that total non-tax revenue from the geothermal energy sector in West Java has reached $72.86 million, or equivalent to 1.1 trillion rupiah this year. Bank Indonesia BI since on Tuesday has implemented domestic non The Liberable Forward Transaction, DNDF, in a bid to stabilize rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar. The government of Indonesia, through Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, has made efforts to enhance transparency of public services by launching the application of the Mineral Online Monitoring System, MOMS, and BB Minerals, and called Minerba. That Indonesians are friendly and helpful might be true after all. The 2018 World Giving Index by British organization Charities Aid Foundation, CAF, has placed Indonesia on top of the list. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will take you to Central Java Province to enjoy Mendut. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, at www.voinews.id. Listener, Indonesian nation with strong cultural root has various traditional foods. Thus, Indonesian people know various traditional snacks. One of them is mendut. Although mendut is old snack, it has taste which can be always remembered by culinary lovers. Listener, in the past, mendut was often served at wedding party or especially in Javanese ceremony. Besides, the snake was also sold at traditional market. But now, mendut is difficult to be found. Only some traditional markets sell it, such as Gede Market in Solo and Bring Harjo Market in Yogyakarta. To find mendut is difficult today, probably because the making process takes long time. Listener, mendut is a traditional snack which is made from glutinous flour on which inside of the food contains grated coconut and it is mixed with palm sugar. Afterwards, it is wrapped with young banana leaf. To make mendut, someone should be patient. Firstly, glutinous flour is mixed with water and made to be tough until fluffier and dull. And then, it provides grated coconut and mixed with palm sugar, which is finely ground and mixed evenly. And then, the dough is made small rounded, and the dough of grated coconut and sugar is put into the dough of glutinous flour. After that, the dough is wrapped with banana leaf. Before banana leaf is used, the leaf is dried for a while to avoid being rigid, so it is easy to be used and shaped. To make the dough not sticky, the leaf which has been dried is smeared with a little oil. If the process has done, thus dough packages are steamed in pan around 30 minutes. Listener, mendut making process is quite easy, but it takes long time. One package of mendut is sold with price 5,000 rupiahs. One package contains of 3 pieces of mendut. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Mendut, traditional food from Central Java. I'm Putri Savitri Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back to Miscellany, a regular segment over Voice of Indonesia featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, environment and technology, even lifestyle. You can listen to this program through shortwave on 3325 kHz, live streaming at www.voinews.id and the RRI Play application that you can download on your Android. Today, I will present some information about a short film made by Indonesian students who are ready to go international. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Some Indonesian students made impressive achievement in the Asian region. They are students from the Broadcasting Department of SMK or Vocational High School 3 Batu Malang, East Java, who will participate in the 12th Asian International Children's Film Festival, which was held from November the 19th to 28th in Hokkaido, Japan. Angan, or Angan, which means imagination, is a short film made by 11th grade students in the Broadcasting Department from SMK or Vocational High School 3 Batu Malang. This film will be sent to take part in the 12th Asian International Children's Film Festival. It talks about responsibility and tells the story of Ani, a beautiful, smart, and accomplished girl whose father is dead and she is very devoted to her mother. Then Ani gets a scholarship while at the same time her mother arranges a marriage with a rich man. Adi Wicaksono, head of the film production department of the school, said the 12th Asian International Children's Film Festival is part of the Genesis 2018 organized by the Japanese Embassy in Indonesia. According to Adi, Batu Vocational High School 3 received an invitation directly from the Japanese Embassy for their consistency in the film production. After passing the selection stage, finally, the school was invited to enter the festival. The film was produced by Phoebe Nur Wulandari and directed by Imaniar Muslimah. Total characters were 5 with a production crew of 18 people. In addition, the production crew also received assistance from the 10th grade student. Total cost of the film production is 3.6 million rupiahs. At the 12th Asian International Children's Film Festival, Angan will compete with other films from 10 countries in Asia. For those of you who are curious and want to watch this film, you must be patient first because this new film will be screened to the public after the festival is over. That was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih. Thank you.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you the groove. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Hayalan. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id or frequency 3325 kHz. Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Hayalan, sung by The Groove. The Groove is Indonesian band which was established in 1997. The song was one of the hit songs of The Groove, which tells about beautiful dream as lover who has promise, even though in real world both are only friends. The Groove released their debut album in 1999, entitled Ku Ingin. The existence of the group band is able to inspire the establishment of some group bands in pop jazz genre in Indonesia, such as Part Drive, Malik and the Essentials, Run, and Ecodus. Like other bands in general, the group also changed its personnel. After being vacuum several years, the group appeared again in March 2007, with name The Groove Reunion. In 2010, they officially used name The Groove to show their solidarity with their newest single, entitled Let's Go, Reunion. The single was successful at market and welcomed by Indonesian music lovers. Listener, let's listen to the next song, entitled Kusambut Hadirmu.
Ada satu tersimpan di hati yang tak dapat aku pungkiri, cinta, rasa cintaku padamu.
Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about the groove. The song entitled Kusambut Hadirmu was released in 2013. The return of this group band received appreciation from various communities. It could be proved with the existence of supports from 88 radios, which simultaneously played single of the groove on May 22, 2013. The release of the single became special because of the 16th anniversary of the band. Vocalist of the band, Rieka Ruslan, said that the band is freer in playing music. The group participated in Java Jazz Stage in 2013. In 2016, the group released CD containing 10 songs after being postponed for several years. At the same time, the group made a book of the group's 19th journey. Well, listener, that was our segment Music Corner for today, featuring The Groove. To conclude our segment, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Satu Mimpi and Ternyata Aku Salah Mengenalmu. I'm Putri Sofitri Adela, thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you. Cinta. hidupku. Seolah diriku dan kamu bagai sepasang
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.